Well, leaders and residents of Medellin, Colombia, argue that the city has changed dramatically over the past few decades. But the history of the drug trade, the cartels, and, of course, the notorious drug dealer and murderer Pablo Escobar, that still lingers. You travel to Medellin, and it's common to see a mural with Escobar's face, T-shirts for sale downtown with his image, or bumper stickers on buses. And even tourism is making money on his legacy. They're called narco tours. Now, you could pay anywhere from $30 to hundreds of dollars to visit these sites where Escobar lived, assassinated people, and built his empire of fear. Jorge Caraballo Cordoves is a reporter for NPR Spanish podcast Radio Ambulante. For last week's episode, he took one of those narco tours, and he found out what stories people were telling about one of history's most nefarious drug lords. Caraballo Cordoves is based in Medellin, and he joins us now via Skype. And we have, by the way, some photos that he took from that tour. It's on our Facebook and Twitter right now. So you can see the sort of things they're selling on Pablo Escobar's legend, his history. Caraballo Cordoves, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me. How are you?
Doing well. This is, look, I have to say, by the way, just as a, you know, to mention that my father, half of the family is Colombian. I have not been back to Medellin in many, many years. But I always remember hearing about Pablo Escobar. It's a name that's infamous and probably can't escape it. But I, just real quickly, I mean, you know, people are still trying to sell on his name. How often do people talk about Pablo Escobar? Is he really still, I mean, this, he was killed years ago. Is he still that big a figure in Medellin?
Yeah, unfortunately, yes. He was killed 25 years ago, December 93. And he's still like a very, very important figure in the city. Like, he did a lot of damage to the city, but also, like, he was one of the richest people in the world. And like, a lot of series, Netflix or Caracol here in Colombia, have been publishing movies, documentaries, books about him. So it's something that never ends. Like, people still talk about him a lot.
Let's talk about these narco tours. What exactly is the narco tour? And there's more than one.
Yeah, there are at least 15 narco tours. If you type in Google narco tour Medellin, you will find at least 15 options. And like, just a little bit of context, Medellin has changed a lot after Pablo Escobar died, right? Like, it's 25 years and the city has transformed itself. Right now, it's like this big referent of urbanism in the world. And that has given to Medellin the narrative of like the miracle city. It passed from being the most dangerous city in the world, the most violent, to this new like referent. And a lot of tourists are coming to the city to learn more about the city and also to learn more about what happened with the story of Pablo Escobar. Last year, 70 people came to Medellin from other countries. And that's a lot. That's a change of 22% from the year before. So there's a lot of tourists coming. And if you go to TripAdvisor, that is like this place where you get information about the cities, the most popular tour in Medellin is the tour of Pablo Escobar.
So the narco tour is the most popular, and you can find out about it on TripAdvisor.
Yeah. It's very popular because, right, like, there's a correlation between the publication of the first season of Narcos in Netflix and the rise in tourism in Medellin. Like, there is, you can see the data, and it's like crazy. They publish Narcos, and a lot of people start coming.
So you took one of these tours. You wanted to look into this, what the tours were and what they were telling people. And so you tried to take more than one tour. What happened? I mean, you were telling people you were a journalist. You wanted to know more.
Yeah. So the first tour that I took was in January. I just, as I told you, I Googled Narco Tour Medellin. I found this one that was very, called my attention because it was promoted by Pablo Escobar's top hitman. His alias was Popeye, John Jairo Velasquez. He is someone who confessed killing 300 people, right? He spent 23 years in jail. And now in 2014, he was freed. Now, like, so he lives in Medellin. And he was promoting this tour. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do this one because it's like raw. It's like the real one, like where the narrative will be more real, right? For them, like for the Cartel de Medellin. Their promise is, we were going to tell you the inside story of Cartel de Medellin and Pablo Escobar. And we will visit three different places in the city where you will learn more about what happened.
And so let's talk about some of these stops, or these three stops.
Okay. So, yes.
To paint a picture, the first one is a place where there was the first car bomb, yes, where the most violent war between the cartels started. That was a Monaco building. What was that? What happened when you got to that stop?
So Monaco building is a building that is now abandoned. There's nothing there. It's empty. It's like it was white, but now it's like gray because it's been like abandoned for years. And the Monaco building is important because of that, because it was the building where the Cartel de Cali, that is, was this rival, these enemies of Pablo Escobar, put a car bomb there in 88, January 1988. But the building has been built before by Escobar in the early 80s, and he lived there with his family, and it was full of luxuries. So when we got there, the guide start telling us all these stories about what was there, right? We were looking at this empty old building, but she was telling us what was there. So all the paintings of millions of dollars, Picasso, Dalí, she was saying this. Then, in the basement, he had these classic motorcycles, these classic cars. This was a place visited by politicians related with drug trafficking all around Latin America. One of the Castro brothers came here and stayed here during the night. And I was like, what? Like, what?
Yeah,
I didn't know any about that,
yeah,
right?
When you're going through this tour, and again, there were two other big stops, and I'm wondering at what point did you start to get suspicious that the tour guide was lying?
Well, that was the first sign. Like, I start feeling that she was exaggerating a lot, all this narrative. Like, I'm from Medellin. I lived those years and when I was a child. And I've been reading about that a lot because it's something that interests me. It's part of my identity, right? I grew up in this very dangerous city. So I've been reading about this all my life. And when I went to that tour and she started saying that, I was like, I haven't read this before. And I don't think that's true. But I was suspicious. I was not like confronting her. I was being very quiet. I was showing that I was surprised because I didn't want just to call the attention on me. I was just doing the tour. I was with another tourist, another German guy that I will tell more about him later. But he was very like listening, actively listening to all these stories. And he, I think, had not the background that I have. So for him, all that what she was saying was true. And for me, it was first in that first stop, I was suspicious.
Let's talk about this German friend that you had, because in the podcast, in the Radio Ambulante podcast, you reference this German gentleman who's with you, and you reference him as a voice of reason of some sort. And there's a particular exchange between him and the tour guide, Doris, that I want to play real quick. This is a clip, and it's in Spanish, so we'll play a little bit of it, then please tell us what we're hearing. Go ahead.
Doris le preguntó al alemán.
Me imagino que en Alemania es igual, que la gente va y visita todos los lugares en los que Hitler pasó, el lugar en el que Hitler murió, y él la miró como, no sabes de qué estás hablando. O sea, él le dijo no.
Okay, so again, you're having this back and forth between you, the German gentleman, and the tour guide Doris. What's happening here?
So we were in La Catedral. So the second stop was La Catedral. This was a jail that Pablo Escobar built to surrender himself to the Colombian government in 91. It's not a jail anymore. Like, he escaped there in 92, 13 months later, and since then it's been abandoned. And after that, like in 2016, there was built a nursing home, a public nursing home. So right now that's a public nursing home. But a lot of tourists go there because they want to see what is from Escobar there. Like, is there something remaining? And after we did that stop, where that's where I knew that this was a lie. But after that stop, the guide was so excited because she was doing this great job telling these amazing stories about Pablo Escobar. So she asked him, like, hey, I guess in Germany, like, the Hitler tours are as popular as these Pablo Escobar tours, right? And he was like, oh my God, how can you say that? Like, no, no at all. In Germany, we've been working very, very hard to take care of our memory and to understand what happened. And also to don't glorify the perpetrators, but to like honor the victims. And she was like, oh, okay.
Wait, and that's an interesting point. So, because I have to finish up here real quickly, is that, you know, she said she thought that
yes.
Germans must have these same tours glorifying Hitler. And because here you have these tours glorifying Pablo Escobar. And yet you also mentioned in the podcast that the tours promise that they're going to focus more on the victims, but they don't do that, do they?
No, they don't at all, at all. Like they all the time that I did this tour was a narrative exaggerating and glorifying Pablo Escobar. And for me, that was very offensive as a citizen of Medellin, right? Like, I suffer that. I know many, many people who unfortunately lost relatives in this war. And nothing of that is mentioned, right? They're just numbers. Maybe she says, oh, yeah, in that bomb, 100 people died. And that's it. Then she starts explaining how smart is Pablo Escobar, how intelligent it is. He was. So, like, for us, this episode was an exercise of, okay, so what does Medellin need? What's missing in the city to stop doing that or to understand what happened, to tell the story without glorifying this criminal? And for me, that was like the big takeaway. We need to start talking about this. We need to start talking about what happened, but not by this narrative that some people are not making money from, but from like the victim's perspective.
Not
so
by
in
the
episode, yeah, no. So in the episode, we show an alternative that was done here in the city that was very, very interesting. And I would invite you to listen to the whole episode that it's in radioambulante.org.
Yeah.
You can go to the website.
Let me, again, talking with Jorge Caraballo Cordoves. He's a reporter for NPR Spanish podcast Radio Ambulante. And he's talking about that episode, looking at narco tours. It is in Spanish, but we will have a link if in case you want to go listen to it. A strange, fascinating, but strange story about these narco tours in Medellin. Jorge, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time today, man.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me. And you can read a translation in English in the website. So if even if you
even
don't speak Spanish,
it.
You can read the translation.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Jorge.
Thank you.
And by the way, he joined us via Skype. You can also go to WLRN Sundial's Facebook page and look at some of the pictures he took of those tours. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Luis Hernandez. Talk to you tomorrow.